Why don't credit cards ever drown? Because they always have a float to fall back on. Hi, I'm Rob West. A touch of humor to start today's broadcast, but the truth is, credit card float is no joke, and it could lead to unwanted interest charges. Chad Clark joins us today to talk about credit card float and how you can avoid it. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest today is Chad Clark, Executive Director here at FaithFi. Chad, great to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
Chad, I know that lately you've been thinking a lot about credit card float, which is something most people don't do and may not even know what credit card float is. So why don't we start there?
Yeah, well, this comes up because it's a common question we get with our FaithFi app users. So I get an opportunity to help people kind of address this question. Credit card float is a period of time between when you charge something on your credit card and when you actually pay for it. Because remember, when you put something on a credit card, you're borrowing that money to make the purchase.
All right, so maybe an example will help. What is it?
Yeah, so let's say at the start of your statement period, you buy a pair of shoes. Let's say that's January 1st. The statement closes on January 31st, but the due date for that statement isn't actually until another 21 to 25 days after the statement closes.
Yeah.
So if you buy something on January 1st, you could potentially not pay for that purchase until February 25th. That's 55 days between when you made the purchase and when it's actually paid for. And that time period is what is known as the float.
Yeah, that's helpful. So in other words, living off the float is this period of time between when you bought something and when you pay for it. But credit card float doesn't mean you are paying interest for that purchase. So explain that to our listeners.
Yeah, as long as you're paying your credit card statement off in full by the due date, you actually won't pay any interest for this purchase. So using our previous example, you would get up to 55 days to borrow that money interest-free.
Yeah, which sounds like a pretty good deal if you pay the statement in full by the due date. So what's the catch?
Yeah, unfortunately, the float creates an interesting situation where you may unknowingly be one payment behind. And what I mean by that is if you're able to pay off your credit card statement in full each month, you might be using this month's income to pay for last month's expenses.
Yeah, interesting. So even if you pay your credit card statement in full each month, you might unknowingly be doing what's called riding the float and maybe one payment behind from a cash flow perspective. Unpack that just a bit more.
Yeah, so the key is to make sure that you are always fully funded when you are using credit cards. And by that, I simply mean you can pay off your credit card balances in full at any time. So not just the statement balance, but the full credit card balance. And you can determine this rather simply by adding up your current credit card balances and subtracting it from your checking account. If you don't have enough money to pay for those credit cards in full, you're riding the float.
Yeah, so it's really all about making sure you have the money in your account before you buy something with a credit card. When the bill comes in, you can then pay it out of checking, for example, without having to dip into your savings.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this is where sometimes people get caught off guard. I've had several conversations with people recently who pay their credit card statement in full each month, but they don't realize they're riding the float. And then they come up to this decision to make a big purchase, not realizing that they actually don't have enough money to cover that expense. And so the float can catch people off guard if you're not fully funding your credit cards.
Now, Chad, I know you discovered this as you were helping some of our FaithFi app users. So explain how the FaithFi app helps with this.
Yeah, so the FaithFi app is a great system to help you actually address this float issue, specifically our envelope system. We have this unique capability where you can actually reconcile your credit card envelopes to make sure that you always have enough money set aside to pay your credit cards off in full. And so we really encourage people to check out the FaithFi app if credit card float is of any concern or you want to make sure that you stay on top of it.
Excellent. Yeah, we don't want you to ride that float, and the FaithFi app can help you make sure you have the money set aside to pay those cards in full. Check it out, faithfi.com. Just click app or head to your app store. Chad, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Chad Clark, Executive Director here at FaithFi. Again, if you want to download the app today, go to faithfi.com and click app. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
King Uzziah had reigned in Jerusalem for decades, and his death threw the nation into great uncertainty and instability. Few then remained faithful to the Lord, but the prophet Isaiah was one. That same year, Isaiah was given a heavenly vision. God seated on his throne, worshipped by the angels who said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Nations rise and fall, times change, that's always been true, but God remains unmoved. His reign not threatened by the turmoil of the world. And like Isaiah, we can cast our eyes and fix our hope on the one whose rule is unshakable, justice incorruptible, and plans that never fail. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're looking forward to taking your calls and questions today. That line is open. We're ready for you. 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. I'm broadcasting all this week live from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. If you are in the industry and you're here, come say hello. If not, we'll look forward to continuing to bring the broadcast to you each day this week. But from here in Texas at the beautiful Gaylord Texan, gathering together with media professionals from all across the industry using media, everything from radio to podcasting and the like, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. And it'll be an incredible time of worship, of learning, but also just great community and conversation. But we'll look forward to continuing to connect with you to help you form a biblical worldview with how you manage God's money. That's our goal on the program each day, and we'd welcome you to be a part of it. Again, we've got lines open. I was off last week at running our Kingdom Advisors
conference with 2,700 advisors. It was incredible. God did some amazing things, but I'm so thrilled to be back with you live this week. And so if you have those financial questions in your life and you'd like to get in on the conversation, the way to do that is pretty quickly and simply at 800-525-7000. You can call it right now. We're going to dive into those questions here in just a moment. But first, in the news today, budget experts are advising not to spend your $5,000 tax rebate check just yet. In case you missed it, the possibility of sending out those checks to taxpayers was all the rage last week. That's based on potentially up to $2 trillion in spending cuts, perhaps achieved by the Trump administration's Department of Government Efficiency, or what is known as DOGE. The idea was floated last Tuesday on X by Trump supporter James Fishback, founder of the investment firm Azoria Partners. It was widely retweeted, and when asked about it, President Trump said he thought it was a good idea. But whether a rebate happens at all is still up in the air. Critics say it would be similar to the stimulus check sent out during the COVID pandemic and could spark a new round of inflation. And some, including House Speaker Mike Johnson, say the savings would be better spent paying down the national debt of $36 trillion. What do you think about this? Well, send out checks or pay down the debt. Also, do you think DOGE will be able to find that $2 trillion in spending cuts? We'd love for you to call in and weigh in on that. Again, plus your financial questions today. That number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. All right, let's dive in today. We're going to begin in South Carolina. Hi, Debbie. How can I help?
Recently, and wanted to open a grooming business. I have the building. When I retired, I began to buy up the supplies and the equipment. However, a lot of it is quite expensive, and my friends have told me to make sure I go ahead and get my LLC and get the business up and going and stop putting my own money in there without the business, because I could use that equipment as tax write-offs. I've managed physician's offices, but I don't know anything about tax. Should I get the LLC and submit my purchases through that? What do you recommend?
Yeah.
I don't want to do anything wrong, Rob. I want to do it right.
I can appreciate that. And I love to hear that you're doing something you're passionate about. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of fun in that. And hopefully you can turn it into a good source of income in the process. You can still deduct business expenses for equipment purchased before forming the LLC, which is going to be my recommendation. But there are some specific steps to ensure compliance with the IRS rules. You would transfer the equipment to the LLC, and that official transfer of ownership would be important, and that could be done through a bill of sale or listing the equipment as a capital contribution in the LLC's financial records. And then you deduct it as a startup expense, and then you would have to depreciate it over time if it's over $5,000, and then you could get reimbursement from the LLC. But the big idea here is that the reason you would want to do this is, first, if your LLC purchases the equipment either after the fact or, you know, at the time of purchase, then your friends are correct. You'd have the opportunity to deduct the cost as a business expense, thereby reducing your taxable income. And then you could even, depending upon the amount and so forth, there are a couple of different ways to approach the depreciation. And so I'd get some professional tax advice on that. You may be able to deduct the full purchase price in the year of the purchase rather than spreading it out over several years, but that's where you'll want to talk to a tax professional. There is possibly some states that allow businesses to buy equipment without paying sales tax up front if they have a resale certificate. So that would be something that could be a benefit. But then, separate from the tax advantage, the other benefit to the LLC is that, you know, you can keep your business and personal finances separate, which reinforces the liability protection. The other piece of this is, depending upon how you structure the LLC. So for instance, if you elect the S corporation taxation, that would allow you to save on the self-employment taxes as well. So I think, there's a real good reason to do this. And, you know, one of the main benefits of having your own small business is the ability to deduct, you know, all of these expenses. You will need to make sure that obviously you generate enough for the IRS to see this as a legitimate business and not a hobby. But, you know, there will be some flexibility there, at least in those early days as you're just getting up and running. Does that all make sense, though?
Oh, excellent. Tremendous help. Tremendous help. I was very lost. At least I'm being directed the right way by the right people. And I thank you for that. I love your ministry.
Well, thank you so much. Let me ask, do you have a tax professional that could walk alongside you in this?
I don't. I do have an accountant that I had used when before I retired.
Okay.
And I thought that I would reach out to him. He's a good Christian man, and just see. But if you have someone you could recommend.
Well, if you've got, a Christian who's served you in the past, I'd probably start there. If you want some other names just to consider a few folks, I'd probably reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor there in South Carolina and ask for a referral. All the CKAs in our database would have a godly tax professional that they could recommend, and perhaps one that even specializes in working with small businesses. So you just head to our website, faithfi.com, and click find a professional. But I think this is going to be a great direction for you to go. You know, the key here is just make sure you keep everything separate from your personal transactions. Let's get that tax professional to help you get set up on something like QuickBooks or some other small business accounting package. Get a business credit card so you can keep everything related to the business, again, separate from your personal finances. And then structure it in such a way that you can avoid as much of the self-employment tax as possible. And there are certainly ways to do that. The last thing I'll mention is, you know, since you'll be earning income outside of a W-2 employment, you will need to make some estimated tax payments to avoid IRS penalties. Those happen quarterly, April, June, September, and January, and you'll make those payments based on your projected income. So I would ask that tax professional about that as well.
Perfect. Thank you. Right. I didn't even know to ask that. God bless you.
All right, Debbie. Thank you for your call today. May the Lord bless you as well. Well, folks, we're just getting cranked up here today. We got plenty of room for your questions. Calls are coming in, but we've got a few lines still open at 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Live this week from NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, in beautiful Dallas, Texas, here at the Gaylord Texan. Back with much more just around the corner. Stick around.
American Family Association would like to thank everyone who participated in our Target boycott. AFA declared the boycott when Target announced it would allow men into women's dressing rooms and restrooms. Since the start of the boycott, Target lost over $2 billion in stock value. They've scaled back LGBT Pride Month products and added single-occupancy restrooms. Other corporations also reconsidered their policies in light of the Target boycott. Since it served its purpose, AFA has officially ended our Target boycott.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
You know, most news outlets today don't just deliver information. They try to make us believe wrong is right and evil is good. Not American Family News. You know you'll get accurate information from a Christian perspective because, let's face it, God's Word is the real measure of truth and morality. Any impact on us and our families won't be hidden. Get your news from the source more and more people are choosing as their go-to. American Family News, on the air and online at AFN.net.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985, 800-557-1985.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman. Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Helping you see God as your ultimate treasure. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Here's our hope and prayer each day that we can be an encouragement to you. We can be hopeful, but we can be theologically accurate and sound, taking you into God's Word, understanding a biblical worldview of money and bringing that to bear into the very practical decisions and choices you're making in your financial life each day. So with any question that's on your mind today in the financial domain, call right now. 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open. Today, Bob Dahl will stop by. He'll weigh in on the markets. The market's under some pressure last week, trying to bounce back this week. The S&P, though, is not quite up to the task, starting off modestly lower. The NASDAQ about the same, but off a bit more, nearly 1%. The Dow Jones is the only major index in positive territory right now. We'll get Bob's take on what's moving the markets and just the general health of the economy. That's coming up in the final segment today. In the meantime, let's head back to the phones. We're going to go out to Louisiana. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I am 85. I'm setting up a trust so that all my assets are going to be in one place. So a lot of my assets are tied up in stock, and okay. It's quite a bit of money. I don't want to continue to keep up with that stock. Yeah. So I'm planning on selling it all, and I want to take that money and put it into a bunch of CDs where I know at least I'm making something. And, well, that's what I would like to do. And I was wondering if you thought that might be appropriate.
Yeah. Well, certainly moving all of your stocks from, all of your stocks into CDs will eliminate market risk. There's no doubt about that. But there are, I believe, some important factors to consider here, Tom, as you think about this. But one question, is this currently in a taxable account or is it in a retirement account of some kind?
No, it's a taxable account.
Okay. Yeah. So the pros of this strategy would be, again, no market risk in that CDs are FDIC insured up to $250,000 per account type per institution. So you could parse this out either with one firm who uses what's called a sweep account to manage the various institutions to spread your risk out even at one institution, or you yourself could actually open multiple accounts to stay under the downturn. You have provide some stable income, and if properly staggered, you would have liquidity, meaning if you use a CD ladder strategy, staggering the maturities, then you can access the funds at different times while still earning better interest rates. So what are the downsides? Well, three in particular. One is what we would call inflation risk. CDs don't typically keep up with inflation, which means your purchasing power could erode over time. The tax considerations would be the second, Tom. Selling those stocks in that taxable account all at once could trigger some pretty significant capital gains. And so if your stocks have appreciated significantly because you've held them a long time, that could trigger a pretty significant tax bill. And then the third would just be the lower returns, because CDs usually yield less than stocks and may not generate enough income to cover long-term expenses or legacy goals. So what would be the alternatives? Well, alternative one would be a partial shift to CDs. Instead of moving everything, you keep a portion, let's say, dividend paying stocks, somewhat stable stocks, not the high flyers that have more volatility, but where they have a good consistent dividend. So you've got some income coming in, and then some bonds in addition to that to maintain some growth potential, and then move up, you know, the rest into CDs. The other option is you could, you know, do slightly better than CDs with municipal bonds or treasury bonds. A third option would be annuities, because if you're interested, you know, a fixed annuity could provide those guaranteed payments without stock market exposure. And then as far as a tax strategy goes, multiple years, that would just be kind of a general overview of my thoughts. Give me your thoughts on that, though.
Well, you certainly, and by the way, you were going in and out. So some of the things that you said, I didn't pick up on, but I got the gist of everything. Okay. And I think that's very beneficial for me. It gives me something to think about. And the only other thing I might mention is I plan to make the trust the beneficiary of whatever I put this money into, whether it's CDs or bonds or whatever. So, yes, you've been a big help, and you've given me some alternatives, and I really appreciate it.
Well, happy to do it. Yeah, and what you would want to do is you'd want to title these in the name of the trust so they reside in the trust. If it's a revocable trust, you'd be able to make changes to that at any time. Right. But that way, these are the assets of the trust for the benefit of the beneficiaries, managed by the trustee, you during your life, and someone else if you're incapacitated or pass away. But hopefully that gives you some things to think about, sir, and we appreciate you being on the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. By the way, Tom, if you're still there, hold on the line. I want to send you a gift and just thank you for being on the program. It will be an encouragement to you. To Alabama, Byron, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Bob, thank you for taking my call. There is some talk around in this area about checks that are in the mail that are being altered before they reach their destination. I've got a question. Is that a general problem? Are checks now outmoded, so to speak, because of technology?
Yeah, and so explain to me exactly what it is you're hearing about here.
People are getting checks in the mail, are getting checks in the mail, and the checks have been altered en route.
Yes. Okay.
Someone that took it out of your mailbox.
I see. Yeah. Very good. All right. Let's do this. I've got to hit a quick break here, but we'll talk about the scams involving checks here just around the corner. I'd love to weigh in on that. It's a great issue you're raising. Do you have room for a question today?
In rural Malawi, baby Esther was taken in by her grandparents when her mother died. Resources were scarce, and Esther suffered from malnutrition for years until God transformed her life. Today, through Cross International, Esther receives nutritious meals, drinks clean water, and is taught about the hope found only in Jesus. But other children are still waiting. Make an eternal impact on a child now with a $62 gift at crossinternational.org/faith.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, broadcasting live from NRB this week. What is that? Well, that's the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. It's the gathering of media professionals all focused on proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're here to form community, have some great meetings, a lot of great worship and teaching, but some really practical sessions as well. We'll look forward to broadcast from here all week on the floor starting tomorrow. And so we'll be out in a live environment as people are gathering there, bringing you this broadcast and others throughout the day. We are taking your questions today at 800-525-7000. You can call right now if you have a financial question, 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Byron in Alabama. He's talking about a form of fraud involving checks that actually come right out of your own mailbox before they get to the proper destination, and they're altered by these thieves. Here's how this works. If this is the one you're referring to, Byron, it's commonly referred to as check washing, or it's just a basic form of check fraud. But essentially, criminals steal the checks, they alter them, and then they cash them fraudulently. So they would often pull them out of residential mailboxes, and then they would then use chemicals like nail polish remover or other acetones to erase the ink on the check while keeping the signature intact. And then they would just change the payee name, or they can, you know, use an accomplice to cash it. And then the amount, let's say, you know, $100 or $500, whatever it is, would then, you know, be available to them. They use fake IDs to deposit the check in a bank or a mobile deposit. They could even sometimes open a temporary bank account. And by the time the check clears, the fraudster's already withdrawn the money, and it makes it really hard to recover. And then banks may or may not reimburse the losses depending upon when the fraud is reported. So you're exactly right. I mean, this is an issue. I will say it's happening less and less just because so many people these days are using electronic means to send checks. So if it's not being sent a payment, you know, through an ACH or some other, you know, means like Venmo, which, by the way, I heard Venmo transactions last year now topped $1 trillion. Incredible. But if you're using checks banks, you're typically using a bill pay service through your bank, and then they're mailing the checks out directly. So that would obviously help. So you could avoid mailing checks from home mailboxes. And even if you didn't use your bank to do it, you could use a post office or a secure mail drop-off location. That would help. I've also heard that you can use gel pens because the gel ink pens bond with the paper and they resist chemical alteration. Of course, as with anything, you want to monitor your bank statements and set up banking alerts so that you can look for those unauthorized transactions and report them on a timely basis. That's going to help ensure that you're made whole by your bank. And then again, you know, you could certainly move to electronic payments where possible. But is that the type of thing that you're referring to, Byron?
Yes, that's exactly what I was talking about. And you answered it very well. Thank you.
Okay, sir. God bless you. Thanks for being on the program today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to get you in on the broadcast today and tackle your financial questions. Also, coming up in our next segment, Bob Dahl will stop by. You know, just a quick reminder while Byron's got us on this topic, because this is a good one. You know, we need to be aware of those top scams that are out there, because it seems like financial scams are becoming more and more common, especially in our digital age. That's the check washing and fake check scams. Another one would be, you know, and this comes in all varieties, the imposter scams. So this is where the scammer pretends to be from the IRS or the Social Security Administration, a bank, or even tech support. They claim you owe money, your account is compromised, or you need to take urgent action, and they demand payments via gift cards, which should be a telltale sign, or wire transfers, or even cryptocurrency. So you need to remember, government agencies will never call or email demanding payments. So I would hang up, call the official agency with you initiating that contact, or the bank using a known phone number. I got one of these last week where I was contacted by what said was the SunPass, which is the toll system in the state of Florida. I've been in Florida recently driving around, and so I thought, well, did I miss a toll? And there was a link there to make that payment, and of course, I didn't do it. But, you know, the key there is that they will often allow, you know, these communications to go out from vendors that you recognize or places you've been. And it looks legitimate. And especially when in this text said, you've been so delinquent on this payment, we're about to take legal action against you. I mean, that's scary. And so you immediately say, well, I want to get this taken care of. You click the button, and you know, a few seconds later, you've actually handed over all of your credentials, even your credit card account, to a fraudster. And, you know, that person then can add that to a phone with, you know, Apple Pay and start charging away even without having the physical media. So you just need to be careful about that. Of course, another type of scam would be the investment and Ponzi schemes. This is where folks are going to guarantee you high returns with little to no risk. And, you know, they use new investors' money to pay profits to earlier investors. You've got to really be careful. We're seeing another rise in this just because of the crypto rage right now, where, you know, a lot of people are just, you know, have no idea what it is, don't understand it, but they don't want to miss out. And so they're jumping in at the promise of huge gains, but, you know, they disappear with your money. If it sounds too good to be true, just remember, it probably is. Another one would be, and this is massive, what we call phishing, where you receive that fake email, text, or call pretending to be from your bank, and they want you just to, quote, verify your account. And when they get those credentials, they'll either drain your account or steal your identity. So never click on links in emails or texts. Banks never ask for login details via that method. So you're going to want to keep that one top of mind. Also, remember that there's a lot of these that involve relationships. So, you know, a grandparent scam or a family emergency scam is another big one, where scammers pretend to be a grandchild or a family member in distress. Perhaps they say that they've been arrested or they're in the hospital. They use the name of the family member that they've secured through other means. and they ask for money urgently via wire transfer or, again, gift cards. Well, call your family directly to verify the situation before you take any action. And often with these, they will say, don't tell anyone. And that's obviously a red flag. You want to stay far from that. So hopefully these are some good reminders. I'll tell you, we just can't be vigilant enough when it comes to these scams. It seems like we're getting new varieties of these all the time. In fact, just the other day, I heard one where somebody will ask if they're in a desperate situation, they've lost their phone, or their phone's out of battery, they need to contact a family member, they ask if they can borrow your phone, they say, I'll stand right here with you, you give them the phone, and while they're acting like they're dialing, they're actually going into your Venmo account and sending money to their account. And you don't even realize it because they're so quick at it. They fake the phone call. They say thanks. They hand it back. The next thing you know, you just sent some money off to somebody through your Venmo account by doing what you thought was a good deed and letting somebody borrow your phone. Man, just be careful. All right, a quick break and back with Bob Dahl right around the corner. We'll get his updates on the market straight ahead. Stay with us.
In bookstores and online, you'll find all sorts of advice about how to experience joy in life. But the only true answer is found in God's Word. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress concludes his study in Philippians called Living Above Your Circumstances. Learn how to be content in every season of life. This week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Have you added AFR on Roku? With it, you can quickly access AFR programming live.
I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View.
The majority of Americans actually want to live in reality.
As well as podcasts of all your favorite shows.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7.
AFR on Roku is another way to stay informed, equipped, and motivated as we join together to restore godly values in our nation. AFR on Roku. Add it today.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, live from NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, all week, but still bringing you the program, still taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. We'll get back to the phones in just a minute, but first, here on a Monday, our good friend Bob Dahl joins us. Bob brings us his market commentary each week during this segment. Bob's a Wall Street veteran, manages billions of dollars in the market as CEO of Crossmark Global Investments, and everything is faith aligned. They're screening their investments for faith values as they manage God's money. Bob, great to have you here.
Great to be here on a Monday.
Yes, sure is. Bob, I know we were together last week at the Kingdom Advisors Conference. It was great being with you. But I guess the market was under some pressure that last week, trying to bounce back, not doing a whole lot. Just give us a quick update on where we are.
Yeah, the it was a tough week last week, particularly Thursday and Friday, as you know, Rob, in the market. And we started off nice and strong today, but we're in the process of giving that up. What's going on? There's a bit of a growth scare happening. I cite over the last couple of weeks, manufacturing. manufacturing production declined. Last week, we got housing data weakened. Retail sales in January weren't good. Consumer sentiment survey fell sharply, except for inflation expectations went up. The uncertainty of the tariffs. I mean, I could keep talking and put you in a lousy mood, Rob. there's a lot going on, and the market's just struggling a bit because it's pretty expensively valued, as we've talked about many times on this show. That's why the sag here over the last week or so.
Yeah, and that's weighing on consumer sentiment, isn't it, Bob?
It is. Consumer sentiment is struggling for several reasons. One, the inflation numbers. Two, concern about economic growth. And number three, what's going on in D.C. I mean, a lot of people, even that voted for President Trump, agree with his policies, are struggling a bit with the rapid implementation of them and the firing of a lot of federal workers. So all this is just creating some turmoil in markets. It's normal. It's never fun to see it so much red on your screen, but here we are.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Bob, what about the rest of the world? You had some comments about Europe, but also other developed countries in this week's commentary.
You know, as we've said for some time, the markets outside the U.S. are generally a lot cheaper than the U.S., but it's been for good reasons. We're starting to see some improvement in non-U.S. economic growth, particularly in Europe. I guess it couldn't get much worse. But European markets are leading the way this year, and we expect to see more of that as there's some rotation away from the very expensive U.S. to cheaper markets elsewhere. Obviously, you layer on top of that, Rob, all the political developments that point to Europe needing to increase their spending on defense as the U.S. backs off defending Europe.
Hmm. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. It is quite promising that the U.S. economy has really held its ground from a growth standpoint, right?
It really is. The U.S. economy has just done just fine. You look at the fourth quarter earnings reports that we're almost finished with. They've been quite good. The animal spirits related to the Trump agenda, all that has made the U.S. stock market do pretty well, Rob.
All right. Well, Bob, we appreciate it. Any update on just what's happening in the faith-based investing space? What are you most encouraged about right now?
I'm encouraged from the conference last week. Nearly 3,000 financial advisors gathering for the Kingdom Advisors Conference in Orlando. And the talk, not only in the plenary sessions and the breakouts, but in the hallways. People excited to see that their clients are wanting to line up their investments with their faith. It's just a wonderful thing to be part of.
Yeah, it sure is. We appreciate your leadership in that area. And folks, if you want to learn more and perhaps sign up for Bob's weekly commentary, do that at crossmarkglobal.com. You can even get some more information on what is values-based investing. Bob, still a relatively new idea for most believers, isn't it?
It is. We collectively, all the faith-based money managers, we manage about 0.25% of Americans' money. So long way to go to get the story out and get people lining things up with the rest of their lives.
Incredible. Bob, we always appreciate your time. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great week. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Bob Dolly, CEO and CIO at Crossmark Global Investments. You'll see him regularly on Fox Business and CNBC, and we look forward to our visit with him each week during this segment of the broadcast. All right, let's finish it out today with your questions. We've got room for one or two more, 800-525-7000. Anything financial, again, 800-525-7000. To Indiana. Hi, Hank. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob, I appreciate your show a lot. And my question is, my bookkeeper told me that I can do $16,000 in IRA between my wife and I. Is that true?
Yeah. Are you talking about IRA contributions for 2024?
Yes.
Yeah, you should be able to. So depending upon, you know, how much you've put in so far, you could put in $7,000 for 2024 or 2025. And if you're over the age of 50 or older, you can do a full $8,000. So yeah, that'd be a total of 16 between the two of you. You would need to have, you yourself would need to have at least, you know, that much in earned income. And then even if she doesn't have any income as a spouse, she could have her own IRA. And as long as you all had at least $16,000 in earned income and you haven't filed your 2024 return, then you could put in eight apiece for 2024 and you could turn around and put in another eight apiece for 2025. So a total of $32,000 between the two of you covering last year and this year.
Well, she doesn't have a salary. So she would have to start an IRA herself. I mean, I've got it kind of like she's a beneficiary of my IRAs.
That's right. So she could have what's considered a spousal IRA. And so even if she is a non-working spouse, is in to an account in her name only.
Okay, and then would that help me with my taxes this year? I'm doing around $100,000. Would that help me?
It sure would. Yeah, because if let's say you all put in between yours and hers, you put in $16,000 for 2024. If you do it in a traditional IRA, it would exclude that $16,000 from your taxable income for 2024, and therefore you'd be paying tax on $16,000 less. So if you had $100,000 in taxable income, now you'd have $84,000 if you put in $16,000 between the two of you. So yeah, there would absolutely be a benefit.
And I've got to April 15th to do this, correct?
Until you file your return or April 15th. Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And then just to run that over, she's got to have her own IRA then. It's got to say my wife's name on the IRA to send that $8,000 over to it.
That's correct, because the first letter in IRA stands for individual. And so you cannot have a joint IRA. It's got to be only based on one individual. So the only way you could get $16,000 in for 2024 is if you have an IRA and she has an IRA and you're both at least 50 years of age and you have at least $16,000 in earned income, then you could put eight in yours and you could put eight in hers as a non-working spousal IRA.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rob. I appreciate it. God is good.
Absolutely, sir. Yes, he is. Thank you for calling today. We appreciate it. Quickly to North Carolina. Hi, Andy. How can I help?
Hey, I listen to you guys every day. And a couple of days ago, they were talking about education and President Trump and shutting down the Department of Education, this, that, and the other. Maybe I'm really confused. I'm not sure. But when North Carolina decided to do the lottery, they call it the North Carolina Education Lottery. Are those funds not supposed to go to the Department of Education, or am I just completely off base here?
Yeah, well, that's probably when you talk about the lottery there specifically in North Carolina, it's for educational initiatives across the state. So, you know, basically, you know, a significant portion would go to the construction of new schools. It would go to scholarships, college scholarships and grants. So they make, you know, higher education more accessible through scholarships and grants based on financial need and other resources. But that would be based on the state's own budgets and offerings. You know, part of what the state uses obviously comes from the Department of Education, but everything raised from the, you know, the lottery there in North Carolina stays in North Carolina for its own initiatives.
Okay. Well, I mean, I understand that. And that's fine. It's just that since before we had the North Carolina Education Lottery, as they call it, I don't really see where anything has changed since we've got this. Yeah. So far as, you know, the new schools and, you know, whatever the schools are needing and higher teacher pay and things like that. It seems like we still have the same issues we had beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a lot of the issue that you're hearing about when you hear President Trump talk about some of the inefficiencies and just the massive increase in funding and spending, really, that the Department of Education federally has experienced over the last decade without a whole lot to show for it. Because when we look at how the children of the U.S. rank versus the rest of the world, it's not good. And so I think that's where he's talking about an overhaul, pushing it all down to the state level so states can lead this. But, you know, what you're talking about there in North Carolina is different from what's happening federally. And it really does all stay there in the state. And I think to your point, you're not seeing a whole lot of change, which is why things can get better and need to. Andy, we're out of time today, but I appreciate your call. Folks, thanks for being along with us. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.